Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're back to the show, where tomorrow we'll have Joe Bautista updating us on the progress of Penn State's move in Division I ice hockey from club sport to Division I ice hockey to Big Ten ice hockey. We'll have Malcolm Moran on from the Final Four in New Orleans tomorrow as well. Dick Girardi from the Final Four in New Orleans on Friday. Earlier in the week, we talked with Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Radio Network, on Ohio State making the Final Four in New Orleans, but they are not the only Final Four team in the Big Ten. There is another tournament going on, and it is the NIT. And the National Invitation Tournament Championship game is tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden in New York, and Minnesota will be going after its first NIT championship since 1998, even though, quote, they vacated it. I can tell you point blank they won it because I did the game. And we're joined by Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of the Golden Gopher Radio Network, who joins us from New York. And, Kevin, do we have Mike all set up?
Not quite.
Kevin? Get the phone on the side. Kevin has a phone that was made, by the way, in the former Soviet Union. All it understands is force.
All right. You're ready now.
I'm ready now. Minnesota is going after its first NIT championship since 1998. Now, they had to vacate that championship. I can tell you unequivocally, they won it. I did the game. They beat Penn State. We're joined by Mike Grimm, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gopher Radio Network from Manhattan. Mike, great to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be on with you, Steve. Great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, same here, my friend. Let's get to Minnesota. They have done something that is rare in the NIT. They've been able to win on the road to Madison Square Garden, then they won a neutral game. Minnesota, as you and I both know, traditionally has not been a strong road team, whether it's Clem Haskins, Dan Monson, Jim Molinari, or Tubby Smith. They haven't been a great road team. Why have they been a really good road team in the NIT?
I just think, Steve, they're playing better, you know, and I know that's a simple answer, but that's what it comes down to. And the schedule, let's face it, has eased up. You get out of the Big Ten and into the NIT, and there are good teams in the NIT, teams that, you know, could make a run. I thought, you know, looking at that Washington roster, you know, had they made the tournament, which I kind of thought they should have, there was no doubt in my mind, had they played well, they could have been into the second weekend. So the schedule, you know, didn't get that easy, but it was easier. When Minnesota lost six straight games, five of those six were against the, you know, the top four teams in the Big Ten. Three of those were co-champions of the league, and so it's easy to get down and play poorly. And Rodney Williams and Andre Hollins, those are two names I'm sure your listeners that are Big Ten fans are aware of. They've really emerged here in the last, really since the Big Ten tournament, and the Gophers have benefited from that. And they frankly this year hadn't played very well on the road or at home. In the Big Ten, they were 3-6 at home and 3-6 on the road. So a 6-12 record, they were probably lucky to get into the NIT, and all of a sudden they pieced it together and are playing real good basketball.
They sure are. And let's talk about Rodney Williams, who since the start of the Big Ten tournament, and you're talking about now six consecutive postseason games, he's averaging better than 20 points per game in that span. Mike, yeah. I know he can be electric. What have you seen from his overall game as you've watched him game by game?
Yeah, you know, he has, in fact, last night was the first game since the Big Ten tournament, including the Big Ten tournament, since the end of the regular season, that he didn't score at least 20. Now, he had 18, so he was close, and he had another big effort. And he, in this run, has been really big early to start games. He's gotten Minnesota almost each night off to a big start. His game has always been that of taking advantage of his leaping ability. He is not a great shooter, although he is has shot well, and he also has increased and been better from the free throw line, which has helped his point production. He, for his career, is right about a 50% free throw shooter, but heading into last night, he was 14 for his last 16, and you know, all of a sudden you're getting three or four extra points a night from the line, and that can make that average go up as well and help the team. But I just think the offense has been a little more free-flowing. You know, as you know, in the Big Ten, it can become just a possession-by-possession game, a slowdown affair, you know, and I think coaches know each team so well that they scout it, and it's tough. And Minnesota's been able to find itself a little bit on the run more. And when they get on the run, and they got an athlete like Williams, you know, he is running the floor and getting a lot of buckets from a foot out and a lot of slam dunks in this tournament.
I remember when I was previewing the Bucknell, Arizona NIT opener, I had said to somebody, there'll be spots on the floor that haven't been open in 2.5 months. Have you found that to be the case for Minnesota?
Yeah, no doubt. Last night they got a couple of backdoor cut plays, and you know, and that's just the way it is. You know, that it's tough, especially in a couple of those cases for Minnesota and Minnesota's opposition. They have had one or two nights, and that's it, to prepare, including a travel day for Minnesota in between a couple of those times. So I think because of that, you can't know everything and can't prepare for everything in these situations where, you know, frankly, I think if Minnesota went and played, you know, let's say just for example, a Tom Izzo or a Matt Painter team, you know, you and I and four other guys could go in there and play, and it didn't matter. They would know exactly what we wanted to do because they've seen it now, you know, twice a year, sometimes three times a year, and coaches are all stubborn, and they all believe that what they do is right. So there's not a lot of change from league game to league game, and that's why I think in the Big Ten it becomes oftentimes a, you know, that possession by possession, you know, 55-53 kind of score.
Andre Hollins is a guy that's been averaging about 8 to 9 points per game for Minnesota. What has made him a prolific scorer in the postseason, Mike?
Yeah, 8 to 9 points more than his season average here in the postseason. He's at about 18 points a game in the postseason. He had the 25-point night against Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament to start things off, and follow that up with a 21-point night against Michigan, and he had 20 last night. One of his keys as well is being able and the ability to get to the free throw line. Last night he helped in the regulation to at least to get Minnesota hold on to get to overtime. Now, Minnesota never trailed in the game, but they were really toward the end fighting it offensively, and luckily for them, Hollins hit some free throws. He was 8 for 8 and sealed the win from the line down at Middle Tennessee State. He's a 92.2% free throw shooter, and had he had 7 more makes over the course of this season, he would have been the leader in the NCAA, but he didn't qualify because he did not have enough makes. He needed 90, and he had 83. So, in fact, I was told this morning, if he gets 9 makes tomorrow night, he would qualify. So he's a really good free throw shooter, and that's been part of what's been big. But, boy, he had a huge shot last night in the overtime. He scored 5 of the 7 overtime points. And all of a sudden, he has become a guy that, you know, a month ago, Steve, people in Minnesota were starting to wonder what the future of this program was, and even questioning a really good coach like Tubby Smith in terms of what the deal was. And now with the emergence of Andre Hollins as a scoring point guard, and in the Big Ten, I think you know, teams like Minnesota need that. You know, Wisconsin has had it over the years, and you guys have all seen it with Taylor Battle, although he's played some off guard for as well. But and Tim Frazier now, and you know, Minnesota needs a guy like that, and Hollins fills that role, and all of a sudden everybody's optimistic again in the Twin Cities.
And in the Twin Cities, there was some optimism in the preseason because Trevor Mbakwe was a part of the mix, and he's a guy that registers a double-double almost every night. After the 7th game, he's out of the mix and out for the year. Ralph Sampson hasn't played in the last 9 games. So the inside presence that Minnesota thought they would have in October and November isn't there in March. Discuss how they've been able to adjust and why they appear to be playing better now.
Well, yeah, I think that it's been an interesting year coming back from that Orlando trip. This will be kind of a long story, but coming back from that, that's where Trevor injured that knee in the championship of the Old Spice Classic, a game the Gophers lost. And there was no official diagnosis, but the tone of the coaches, the medical staff, and Trevor himself on that flight back led most of us to believe it looked like his season would be over. And I thought at that time, boy, this is going to be a struggle because, frankly, Minnesota had played just okay through those first six and a half, seven games. And I thought, you know, this team might win four or five games in the league, maybe. And then they won some games after that. In fact, they won six straight without Mbakwe in the non-conference, granted against lesser competition. And all of a sudden I thought, well, maybe they could sneak to nine because I thought 9-9 would maybe get them into the tournament. They start 0-4, and I thought, geez, I may have been wrong. It might be two. They might get two wins, and then they won four or five, including a big win at Indiana, and then lost six in a row and played themselves from in the tournament to out of the tournament. And now they've recaptured or captured, I guess, for the first time this. There's no doubt they've increased the pace of play, and I think that's been the biggest part. I think, too, Tubby Smith, even I talked with him a little this morning at the Champions pre-day before news conference, and he talked about the fact, he used the term, you have to have the patience of Job because, you know, when you got a young team, they had 21 turnovers in that win last night, and they've had a couple of games with over 20 turnovers. But when you play at a faster pace, which Tubby Smith has allowed his guys to do, he talked about the fact you need to be a little more patient. You're playing like that, a little more reckless, but you're getting more easy buckets, which this team needs. And so it's a balancing act, and I think everybody on this team is more comfortable playing at a faster pace. And I think they finally stumbled upon the idea that let's let these guys go. And Tubby's kind of had a reputation, Steve, in the past that if a guy makes a boneheaded play on the floor, he's out. He'll come out and a new guy will come in. And I think now these guys know we're just going to play the way we're going to play. And if we make a mistake, we're going to stay on the floor. And he's narrowed the bench a little bit. And here they are playing, you know, in the NIT championship game now on Thursday.
And part of that is this is a young basketball team. I mean, Williams is just a junior. Holland's young. Coleman's just a freshman at a career game at Penn State. Even Elliot Eliason, who's had some moments in the postseason and down the stretch after Sampson went out. What do you think this run has done for a young basketball team and its maturity?
I think it's been nice, and you know, I think it's been big. I think you know, Penn State saw that, right? You guys won it and made the NCAA the next year, and I think that would be the goal, certainly for this Gopher team now to take advantage of this, you know. And it's something to go into the off season with a good taste in your mouth. I think that makes that walk in the morning to the weight room, and you know, in the middle of July when it's nice and you might rather be, you know, out riding a bike or fishing or whatever, you know, riding in a boat or what have you. So I think it makes those things all easier, and I just think that the other thing, and you know this having gone through the NIT, is, you know, you just play enough games in kind of one and done tournament kind of settings. I think there is something to be said for learning that situation, and in this case these guys have traveled all over the country, and here in the NIT it does have a little NCAA tournament feel, so they're getting a little flavor of what that would be like. So I think it's beneficial, certainly for all of those reasons, and everybody that has played here in the NIT, or maybe I should say it this way, no one who has played in the NIT will be gone from this team if all goes well this offseason. In other words, Sampson has not played in the NIT. He's the lone senior. Mbakwe obviously has not played, but he has received a sixth year, so if he chooses, he can be back with this team next season as well. And if that's the case, you know, he's the league's, I think, you know, one of the preseason top five players in the league, assuming that knee heals up properly, and then the optimism really shoots upward for this Gopher team.
In fact, Mbakwe was this past season one of the preseason five.
Right.
Chasen Randall, Josh Owens, Aaron Bright, Anthony Brown. Give us a read on Stanford and about Johnny Dawkins' team.
Yeah, you know, they're a little like Minnesota in that they're pretty young. Now, they do have four seniors, but they really have a lot of contributors that are underclassmen as well. And you mentioned Randall. He's their freshman point guard. It's interesting because Andre Hollins was being recruited by Stanford, by Minnesota, by Arkansas, and a couple of others. You know, there were some rumblings that he really liked Stanford. And then Randall committed to Stanford, and Stanford said, sorry, we're finished now with the guard spot. And Andre Hollins may have ended up at Minnesota anyway. We don't know that, but the fact that Randall's commitment to Stanford eliminated the Cardinal from his mind and put him eventually then in Minnesota, it becomes an interesting and an intriguing matchup, certainly with those two guys going head-to-head tomorrow night. But Stanford is a little similar. You know, they're trying to capitalize on this momentum as well with some young players, and they've had a mix of home and road games in this tournament. And, you know, the Pac-12, I think, has been maligned a little bit here, and Johnny Dawkins even talked a little this morning that they're not thinking about that, but I think in the back of their mind they got to think they want to represent the Pac-12, particularly after Minnesota beat the champion of that league in the regular season last night.
Mike, thanks so much for the time you gave us, and best of luck tomorrow night. And in Big Ten country, it's Minnesota everybody will be rooting for, at least on this broadcast. You know that. So my best to you, and we'll talk to you next month when it comes time for spring football.
We're getting there. Sounds good, Steve. Thanks so much. Good to be on with you.
Same thing. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice, outstanding play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gopher Radio Network. NIT Championship game tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden in New York, as Minnesota takes on Stanford. We'll come back with more after this on WKOK.
The 2012 Showcase event is here. Plus, it's Truck Month at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Now, get $1,000 bonus cash off new 2012 Ram trucks. That means you can get a new 2012 Ram 1500 Quad Cab Tradesman 4x4 pickup with Ram Box towing package and spray-in bedliner for as low as $26,990 at BZ Motors. How about a new 2012 Dodge Caliber with up to 32 highway miles per gallon starting at only $15,630? BZ Motors also has new 2012 Chrysler 200 with up to 31 highway miles per gallon for as low as $17,870. Or take advantage of 0% APR financing for up to 72 months on all new 2012 Chrysler 200s. Check out the $0 down sign and drive leases you can get at BZ Motors. Don't miss the 2012 Showcase event going on now at BZ Motors Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Lewisburg. Remember, nobody beats BZ, the dealership you can trust. Special financing on approved credit. All prices after rebate and are plus tax, title, and tags.
And end of an era is here. Robert M. Sides will no longer be the Yamaha dealer in Central PA. For 4 days only, Thursday, March 29th through Sunday, April 1st, Robert M. Sides will liquidate all Yamaha acoustic and digital pianos. This is your opportunity to own the piano of your dreams at liquidation prices. All Yamaha and Disclavier pianos, as well as Yamaha's Clavionas, will be liquidated. These pianos will be liquidated to the general public on Saturday, March 31st and Sunday, April 1st. However, you can schedule an appointment to the private sale on Thursday, March 29th or Friday, March 30th from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. by calling toll-free at 1-888-647-1523. This is your chance to own the piano of your dreams at extraordinary savings, and financing is available. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 1-888-647-1523. Calls will be returned in the order received. That's 888-647-1523. This weekend, only at Robert M. Sides, 201 Mulberry Street, Williamsport.
Find out all about the people, places, and organizations that make the Susquehanna Valley a great place exclusively on CCN, CATV Service Channel 8. Every Wednesday at 7 and re-airing Saturday and Sunday at 1, you'll join Jennifer Wakeman in your neighborhood. She'll take you inside area businesses, introduce you to interesting people, show you things to do, and tell you about terrific local organizations. To learn more about In Your Neighborhood and all programming, visit us at www.catvservice.com.
There's never a boring day when you stop in the 40,000 square foot showroom at Coons Brothers Surplus Outlet. And the prices are as wonderful as the many items that fill the showroom. Save on vanity tops, kitchen sinks, windows, pedestal sinks, floor tile, furniture, laminate flooring, countertops, department store merchandise, and that's just scratching the surface. There's so much to see, we'd run out of room in this message. See more online at CoonsBROSSurplusOutlet.com. Coons Brothers Surplus Outlet, 700 Hepburn Street, Milton.
NBC News on the radio, coming soon to WKOK. Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour, only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
By the way, our thanks to Carissa Maxwell for the great job she's done as being a part of this show. She covered the Bill O'Brien press conference for us on Monday, Patrick Chambers press conference before that. And she's doing a lot of work behind the scenes that maybe you don't know about that have made the show much better. And we thank her. She's doing a fabulous job for us. Oh, okay. And Kevin, you're doing great, too.
I wasn't looking for it. I was just wondering if you remembered I was here.
Just wanted to make sure you knew that I thought you were doing just a special job.
Is it NFL time now?
Yeah, sure. We talk about anything in the NFL. In fact, there are a couple of things that we do need to talk about with the NFL because they have had rules changes that took place at the NFL meetings, which are expected at this time of the year. It's not unusual to have that happen. So let's discuss the NFL rule changes. Number one, every touchdown we already know, as they pointed out repeatedly last season, is reviewed no matter what, reviewed all the time. Now, if there is a turnover, the turnover is going to be reviewed.
Good idea.
Every time. So what this has done is this has now taken the challenge flag out of the hand of the coach. They don't have to challenge a touchdown now, and they don't have to challenge a turnover, which now will give them a little more latitude to challenge a three-yard gain.
Well, I think more along the lines of inbounds, out of bounds is more what the NFL had in mind.
So all turnovers will be reviewed from the booth with no coaches' challenges needed, and overtime periods in the regular season will use the same scoring rules as the postseason. NFL rules made that today. With all turnovers now subjected to review, it could lead to even more effective coaching challenges. According to ESPN stats and information last season, the first with all touchdowns being reviewed, plays were reversed 52% of the time, the best rate in over 11 seasons, and 10% higher than before. And then there's the overtime. The NFL rarely tinkered with overtime until 2 years ago when the Saints won the NFC title by winning the coin toss and starting the extra period, marching downfield and kicking a field goal to beat the Vikings. The NFL decided in a 30-2 vote that overtime in the regular season will now end on the team's first possession only if it scores a touchdown or the defense forces a safety. Steeler fans, by the way, graphically understand that rule.
Come on. Do you have to take the knife and twist it?
It's not a question of taking the knife and twisting it. It's a question of people saw that happen last year, and they may be asking why the Steelers never got a possession.
Well, before that happened.
That's the reason why. Okay, the reason why is that the rule is if you score a touchdown that first possession, you take it all the way home.
Game over.
There's no game over. But if you kick a field goal, then the opposition would get the ball and they would get a chance to either get a field goal or win it.
Now, my
if it's a safety, then it's over.
Now my personal only issue with that rule is I think it's a good idea to do it all season long and not just in the playoffs. That was stupid to me. But I don't like the overtime rule at all. I was never a big fan of sudden death. I really like the college rule. I know you don't.
You want to know why?
Because it extends the game really, really long.
No.
That was going to be my guess.
No, it's not the reason why.
Okay,
outside of field goals or extra points, special teams are taken out of it. And that's an important part of the game.
Well, is that because they start with the ball too close?
It starts ball at the 25-yard line. You don't punt. You don't kick off.
Oh, you're saying it takes out the punter. I'm thinking
takes out punt returns, kick return, takes out everything. It's not a football game anymore, the way the game is played. Now college football does a far superior job to the NFL on instant replay.
That's an understatement.
But I personally prefer the NFL overtime rule to college.
I have a follow-up with that. We'll do that after the news, though.
News is next with Matt Farron on WKOK. Our phone line's open at 1-800-795-9565.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Once again, all turnovers now will be subject to review in the NFL, just like touchdowns are. One less challenge. Thus, you'll see NFL coaches maybe more judicious with their challenges and maybe winning more.
I definitely think you're going to see them take a gamble on those sideline challenges that they hadn't in the past because they didn't want to lose a challenge down the road when they needed one.
Not pass was a proposal that booth officials handle video reviews rather than the referee. I cannot stand when they throw the challenge flag. He picks it up, talks to the coach, goes over to the 20-yard line, whichever the one happens to be closest, and then sticks his head under the hood and goes, okay, what do we got here? Please. It's a waste of time.
And whatever happened to the time limit? Remember when that first came out, there was going to be a time limit? And it wasn't going to last more than 2 minutes? And they used to run, all the networks ran a clock? Well, now they've even dropped the clock. They don't even bother with it.
Well, now, what people don't realize is that when instant replay came out in the NFL, it was a booth review. They did not have the hood originally. They did not have the hood originally in the NFL. Then when they lost it for a year and then brought it back, that's when they went with the official under the hood. Let's see. Also not passed. Outlawing the horse collar tackle on a quarterback in the pocket. You say in the open field, it's a different safety issue compared to the pocket.
Yeah.
Also passing was a crackback block now goes from a 5-yard penalty to a 15-yard penalty. They're going to consider the person receiving the crackback block as a defenseless player. So that's now a 15-yard penalty.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Well, I think it's a very dangerous play. That's why.
Well, I mean, defenseless player and stuff. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
And for you in overtime, you don't like the overtime rule. You love college.
Well, I don't like the overtime. I didn't like sudden death overtime. This is an improvement. All right, this is an improvement, and I think doing it all year long makes much more sense than just changing it for the playoffs. That was just crazy. But I like the idea of having an opportunity to match or better what one team has done, because it doesn't all fall on the coin toss. I mean, still the way the NFL does it, there's still a lot of importance on that coin toss, and if you lose that coin toss, there's still a pretty good possibility you're not going to get a chance to actually try and win this game. That's why I like the college rules and the high school rules for it. Now, the drawback of the college rules are I think it's way too close. I think the 25-yard line is entirely too close in college football. I think it needs to go back to about the 40.
Right.
But I also see the point that it does take an element out of the game, and it does change the game a little bit. I agree with that as well. But I think sudden death and the NFL style, and the new NFL style, doesn't quite cut it. I don't know that there's a happy medium between the two that I would even like, but I absolutely like the way college football does it, just move it back from the 25.
Right. Well, okay.
Now, high school, I'm sorry. High school, they start at the 10-yard line, which is even better because I don't think that it matters not to have the punting in there. I think that's just a score one way or another. I like that idea a lot.
Right. Now, you do realize that both teams have had possession in an NFL overtime game 72% of the time.
Yes, I do realize that.
Yeah, 72%.
I do realize it, but and I still think...
And the team that has won the coin toss has only won 52% of the games.
Yes, I realize that, but still 50% winning the coin toss. Here, at least, in the college rules...
That means losing the coin toss. How many times have
you won? I understand it's 50-50. I do get that, all right?
Okay, I get it. I just want you to know.
But let's face it, is there anybody that's going to say, I don't want the football? No.
Right. But you kick off. If you kick off and they go three and out, where do you get the ball as opposed to them?
It depends. It depends on where the punter did.
Especially where the new kickoff is.
It depends. Is this the Giants punter that was under franchise because he kicks it so deep? If that's the case, then I guess it doesn't matter. No.
I'm just telling you that there is a perception on what it means to win the coin toss in overtime. That it is the automatic that you're going to win. You win 52% of the time.
That's a majority. You have to admit that.
Versus 48%.
But that's not my point.
You're talking 400 games of data here.
But my point is winning the coin toss doesn't win the game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's so much on the coin toss winning it so you get the ball first because there's no decision to be made. At least in college, you can make a decision that I don't want the ball, but I want to go on defense first. That's what I like about that.
Look, everybody goes on defense first in overtime. Everybody. Do you want to know why? Because you want to know what you have to match. There isn't one team that wins the toss in college football that doesn't go on defense first. None. Everybody goes. Everybody goes on defense first. Everybody.
I want to look that one up. I don't know the numbers to support that. I'll have to research that and get back to you.
No, I'm telling you, everybody goes on defense first. Everybody wants to know what they need to match. If you stop them, I only need a field goal. They get a touchdown, I know I need a touchdown. That's why they always go on defense first.
I'm looking that up.
Go ahead, look it up. I'm telling you, everybody goes on defense first in college. So don't act like, in the NFL, I win the toss, I take the ball in overtime. Yes, everybody who wins the toss takes the ball in overtime. And in college, you win the toss, everybody goes on defense first.
No, I'm not going to say that the majority of them do pick defense. I'm not going to argue that.
No, all of them do. Nobody wins the toss, and goes on offense. Nobody. Everybody wants to know what they need then to win.
Oh, I agree. It's the smartest one. There's no question it's the smartest.
That's why everybody goes on defense. Everybody figured it out right away. There isn't a single game I've watched, not one, where the team that won the toss said, yeah, we want the ball. No, you don't.
Let's see. There's a stat here somewhere. I'll dig it up.
I'm telling you, it's the way it is.
I'm not saying you're wrong. That teams prefer to do that. Absolutely. But there's still some decision to be made there. If your team's playing horrible defense, I want to score first.
No. There's no decision. There's no decision. You go put your team out there first. The idea is if you get a turnover, now you need a field goal. They miss a field goal, you just need a field goal. If they kick a field goal, you can extend it with a field goal or win it with a touchdown. Or if they get a touchdown, you need a touchdown. That's why you go on defense first. And everybody goes on defense first.
I know.
Just like in the NFL. You win the coin toss, you take the ball. You win 52% of the time in the NFL. 52%. That's it. It's 52 to 48.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If I'm going to give you that everybody chooses defense, because I can't find anything right now, I'm not going to argue that fact. But which is more exciting?
College is more exciting, but I don't like it takes out special teams.
Takes out punting.
Takes out kickoffs.
Yeah, it does.
I watched on a Thanksgiving Day game. Right. David Williams run the opening kickoff back on Thanksgiving Day against the Detroit Lions for the Chicago Bears to win it in overtime. Took the opening kickoff, ran the sucker all the way back.
You're right. It does take out the kicking game, at least for kickoffs. You're right. And kick returns.
And takes out punt returns, and it takes out field position. It changes the game of football in overtime.
I'm not changing my mind. I'm sticking with the 40-yard line. I think it's more exciting.
Well, no, I agree. I already told you off the air that I agreed that the 40-yard line would be best because I think it puts a little more into it. Right? But I don't. You know, but at the same time, I don't think they want to extend the game. That's why they're doing a penalty kick style.
Penalty kick style. It's a great analogy. I never really thought about it that way.
College football's overtime is superior to the NFL, but I don't like the 25-yard line overtime thing.
No, I agree with you there.
You know, because it's a different game of football at that point. It's a different game of football. That's the only reason why. And again, the coin toss thing in the NFL is one of the is so built in mythology that people, oh, we won the toss, we won the game. No, you don't. It's 52-48. Dave in Sunbury, hi. Welcome to the show, Dave. Great to have you with us.
Steve, I got just one quick question. Why is he going on about that deal about the when you're in college, you take the kickoff, and the overtime, you take defense?
Kevin doesn't believe me that everybody does it.
100% of the time, the coaches take defense.
No, I give you the majority of the time, but I don't know if I go 100%.
No.
100%.
No, Dave's right.
I want to see the numbers.
100%. Dave's right. Dave's right, Kevin. It's 100%.
Kevin.
Everybody.
Show me the numbers.
I have never, ever, since they put those overtime rules in the college, ever seen them take the offense. They want to see what they have to do.
Yeah. And I think maybe in the first season, Kevin, maybe
in the first season. Yes.
Maybe in the first season. Tennessee, and also when everybody caught on to it, they went, wait a minute. You want to go defense first, and every coach knows that. Every coach knows it, and that's why everybody does it.
And, see, I was calling for another reason.
Yes, sir.
Remember Kevin said about that, the jersey deal?
Yes, sir.
Why Nike's all upset,
yes.
Like a wet hen?
Yes.
When you think of all the money they're losing based on how popular that 15 jersey is.
Yes.
That's what they're pissed off about, to be truthfully honest.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that they know they're losing money because there's going to be a quick cash on this. And their point is, and I'm sure this will be the point that they'll argue, is that he not once will Tim Tebow take the field in a Reebok 15 jersey for the New York Jets. That's, I think, will be their point of contention. Because the contract ends at 11:59 Saturday night. 12 before the hour, Kevin is researching feverishly to find out. Again, Kevin.
I think a majority, I agree.
No,
I agree.
Kevin, since the first year, all right, 100% go on defense first. Say not 95%, 100%.
I'll find the stat. Don't worry.
But in the NFL, you win the coin toss, 52-48. Mythology. It's like,
well, I would not have guessed it was that close. I knew it was close, but I didn't think it was that close.
It's like the mythology. I mean, the mythology comes in all forms. Derek Moy, remember the Illinois game?
Yes.
I made the two catches on the final drive. You know, people think they put him in on the final drive. You know when he entered the game? The final series of
the
third quarter. No, final series of the
third quarter.
He played the entire fourth quarter and the last series of the third quarter. I mean, mythology is all over the place in sports. All right, we'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show, based in fact, not mythology, after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Why choose EvenLink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to EvenLink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from EvenLink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. EvenLink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and EvenLink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. EvenLink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call EvenLink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for EvenLink.
When you think about better water, think gulping, like a kid again. Just like your own kids, straight from the tap without a hint of suspicion. Think ice cubes dancing in glassware, and foods rinsed in water that has itself been washed clean. When you think about better water, think Kinetico filtered water. Water without foul tastes or odors. Water that has had nearly everything removed that isn't water. Kinetico home filtration systems are tailored to your home's needs and are capable of achieving incredibly high levels of filtration. Better water. It flows from better thinking.
Purchase a whole house Kinetico water conditioner and receive a free drinking water system valued at $250. That's Tri-County Water, your authorized independent Kinetico dealer on Route 11 outside of Northumberland. Online at Kinetico.com.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? Dude. For you, Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Another successful Kevin Hurd day on the show.
I just arguing with you makes you look better. I think that's what my goal is here. Anything I could do to help you out there, buddy.
Well done. Hey, you love sports. What the heck?
That's what this is all about, though, is just sitting, chatting about it and debating about things.
No. There's a passion about it, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. You know, and people will hear you and I argue about a point. Like, do you think it's personal?
No.
No way.
No. No.
I think the world of this guy, so it's like, it had nothing to do with that. We'll just argue. We're like, okay, we're done.
And then somebody's listening and go, well, you're not worried about it because you know you're right. That's why. I can hear that coming.
really, there is a comfort to that. Our thanks, by the way, to Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gopher Radio Network, joining us today. Mike joined us from Manhattan at the Marriott Marquis, where the Golden Gophers are staying. They'll play in the NIT Championship game tomorrow night against Stanford. And to let you know that we obviously had not forgotten about the NIT, we had Mike on the show today. And if anybody would know about this, it would be me. I said to Mike, I've done a dozen games in Madison Square Garden. 10 of them are NIT semifinals or finals. He goes, really? He says, last time was my first. I said, yeah. I said, I'm the record holder. All right, so.
And what do you get for that? Do they have a picture of you on the wall?
I'm hoping for induction into the NIT Hall someday as the record holder, the active record holder.
Okay. I'm not sure they keep those statistics, though. I'm going to have to look into that. I'm sorry, I can only look into one thing at a time. I got to find the percentage of teams that take the offense.
Right. Well. Something tells me I'm in the lead.
You may be right.
Look, just look back over the last 20 years, or the last 25 years, and see if anybody's been there more than Penn State has. Because you have to remember, I've done consolation games. I've
That's
done
right.
Two championship games along with three consolation games. Consolation game doesn't exist anymore.
There's no consolation.
No, there's no consolation game anymore. So I will leave as the all-time record holder there.
Winner by default.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, will I ever tell you the story about in Madison Square Garden? Because what happens is that Barnum and Bailey, the circus is there at the same time. So, for example, today's the off day. Today, it's circus day. Today is circus day at Madison Square Garden.
How do they do both?
Well, for example, no, for example, they have it all set up today. The circus is today with an afternoon and evening show. Tomorrow there'll be a matinee. Then they'll clear it out. They'll put the court down. All right. Is right. The last time I was in there, we go in there for the championship game for Shoot Around. Oh.
That's not the way. Oh. No. I was thinking about the work that went into it, not the odor that's left in it.
It was brutal. Everybody's like, Eddie looked around and said, all right, let's just get whatever we got to get done. Let's get it over with. It was brutal.
Steve did the whole game. And going around the right wing.
now they have an area where they have built at the garden where they store the animals. They didn't always have that. I remember one year, Dave Baker and I, and there are two tunnels that are right at midcourt at Madison Square Garden. Right? They're right at midcourt. So the tunnel, when you look at TV, the tunnel between the benches, so the one the camera's facing, that's where the locker rooms are. So Dave and I go through that tunnel, and to the right, in that tunnel are the Knicks and the Rangers locker rooms. Okay. Then there are auxiliary locker rooms to the center and then to the left. When you go left and past a couple of auxiliary locker rooms, then there are a series of pictures on the wall. And one of the great ones, of course, is the picture of Joe Frazier connecting with that left hook to Muhammad Ali's jaw, knocking him down in the 15th round in 71. May 15th, remember it. And there's a series of pictures, Frank Sinatra and, all the great entertainers. And you go around that inner concourse area all the way around to the other side, which is where the broadcast area is on the floor. Well, we're walking around to the other side, right? And they have the cages for the animals in the concourse area, then down and around, because they're just trying to put them anywhere. There's no designated, they hadn't built this special area yet. Okay? We're going down, and Dave's on my right. Right? And Dave goes, geez, check out the cage over there. That's a good-sized cage, right? And we stopped, and we just looked. It's covered. We looked at it, also we hear, rah! We're like, ah!
Don't get so close to the covered cage. No.
Well, another time we're there for the NIT, and Dave said it was the off day. He said, "Hey, look, it'll be today, the midday, right?" And he says, "Hey, let's go to Fifth Avenue, let's just poke around, whatever." So we go to Trump Tower, right? Trump Tower, the first eight floors are a mall, first eight floors,
right?
Okay? So we're coming down the elevator. Dave's chit chatting. He's looking at me as he's talking. This guy gets out of a limo, tall guy. He's chit-chatting with this guy. It's Trump, right? So Dave, and I'm serious. So Dave's looking at me. Trump's looking at his guy. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't good. This isn't good. And Dave and Trump go, bam! They crash into each other. Trump's like, are you okay? Dave's like, yeah, are you all right? Right?
Did I mess up your hair, Mr. Trump?
And Trump was really nice. Because he realized he was as much at fault. We talked to him for a couple minutes. And I said, "The day you blew it." He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "You should have lifted his wallet. We could have had a good time tonight."